And welcome back. Chances are you're going to hear a lot more about a school's football or basketball team than you will about its debate team, if it even has one. But debate teams are alive and well in the St. Louis public school system. Formal debating is more than a reasoned discussion. It is an avenue to academic improvement. That's the approach taken by the St. Louis Urban Debate League. Its objective is to put often underserved urban youngsters on that path. At the moment, the league is working with some 130 kids in the city school system. We'll be talking about the league, the students, and the results on today's program. With me in studio, Missy Heineman, Executive Director of the St. Louis Urban Debate League. Samantha Smith is the debate coach at the Clyde C. Miller Career Academy. And Cameron Smith is senior debater at the Miller Career Academy. He and his debate partner, Destiny Crockett, won the National Forensics League District Qualifying Tournament this past weekend, which means they'll compete in a national tournament this summer. The first St. Louis Urban Debate League team to ever reach the final. So congratulations to all of you on that. That is quite an accomplishment.
Thank you. We're very excited.
Mm-hmm. Missy, let me begin with you. Give us some background on your organization, when it started and why.
Sure, absolutely. We are a part of a national consortium of urban debate leagues. So we are one of 20 in the country. A lot of major cities in the U.S. have an urban debate league. St. Louis is one of the younger leagues. We started in 2008, and we partner with St. Louis Public School District, although we aim to work in other underserved districts here in the city. So that's a part of our strategic plan. We're currently in 9 high schools, and as you say, we're working with 130 students at this time. And each month we host a debate tournament for our partnering schools to come together, and the students are able to exercise their debate skills in a friendly, competitive atmosphere. We also, in partnership with our St. Louis Public Schools, we provide resources throughout the year for our students and our teachers to host their own debate program within the school. So that consists of after-school practices. It consists of professional development opportunities for our teachers. So I call us small but mighty. We're doing a lot of things to make sure that all of our school partners have a robust policy debate program in place.
What is it about debating that can put students, any students, on a better academic path?
Well, the first thing that we begin with is argumentation. What teenager does not like to argue? So I think that's the initial hook. What this program provides these students is access to resources that allow them to further their academic skills. So we're focusing on research skills, comprehension skills, reading, critical thinking, public speaking, all of the essential skills that allow them to improve their academics. And what happens is, over time, as they continue to participate in this program, during after school hours, they start to take these skills and apply them within their classroom during the day. And so you start to see gradually they're improving their test scores, they're improving their grades, and they're also furthering their sense of self and starting to become more empowered and feeling that they can achieve academically. So it really becomes quite an exciting thing to watch.
Cameron, let me turn to you. Have all of these things happened to you?
Yes, they have.
Tell us a little bit about getting into it and specifically what it has meant for you.
Originally, like Missy said, originally starting off, it was the edge to want to argue with someone. But that soon had changed after the first tournament when I lost. And luckily, I had got another partner, and we had stuck through and worked together through the hard times. And debate has just been the mainstream for many avenues that I have had in life, whether it be from different internships to scholarship opportunities or being a class leader.
And have any scholarship opportunities popped up as yet?
Actually, they have. Just from debate alone, I have 2 institutions, or 3 actually. Lindenwood University, they're offering me a generous scholarship. McKendree University in Lebanon, Illinois is offering me a generous scholarship to do parliamentary-style debate. And Missouri State University as well has also given me an opportunity to debate with their school.
Well, I think you've just proven the point that Missy gave us a moment ago about the academic. How long have you been at it? it?
Actually, I started my freshman year, and now I'm a senior, so 4 years.
So it's taken you this long to become this accomplished, huh? 4 years.
In improving. 4 years, and I constantly improve after every debate, after every practice. I just get more self. I get better as a person as well.
Could you ever imagine 5 years ago that you would be on a debate team and be where you are now?
No, I couldn't. At first, you know, just starting off, first of all, debaters aren't always the most pleasing things to be in high school. You always want to be a football player or a basketball player or something like that. But I did find self accomplishment in debate.
Well, you look like you could be a football player.
Yes, I get that a lot.
Samantha, let me turn to you. How much of a challenge is it to take these youngsters who are kind of finding their way and teaching them how to be as accomplished as Cameron here?
Every debate team has a different journey. So debate for Cameron in particular, he is really great at the actual delivery of information, where his partner is really great at analyzing text on the spot. So what's been interesting to see for these different partnerships is that they build off of each other, and they're able to, whatever weakness exists, they're able to, you know, shore up that weakness for the partner. And the team spirit of the league has really helped us be better instructors. I work with teachers every day, and I know that I use a lot of the debate theory and methodology to help them be better in all the different content areas.
Missy said early on that what teenager doesn't like to argue?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that temptation to argue has to be channeled
Oh, yes.
And tempered somewhat mm-hmm. when it comes to the debate format. Mm-hmm. How do you accomplish that?
That really shows its ugly head in our practices from week to week. And we get the opportunity for the kids to kind of flesh out any differences and do practice rounds before we get to the tournaments. We have 6 of those a year that we compete in regularly. It's not always pretty. And the kids, because of whatever strengths or weaknesses they have, they're very competitive, and they want to prove to whoever at that time, their parents, us, their partner, that they're really great at something. So it's not just about the practice itself. It's about soft skills for the kids and, you know, getting along. And
well, in a basketball game, if the player is not making shots, you take them out of the game.
Uh-huh.
What do you do when this gets out of hand with the youngsters in this format?
Oh, good question. We have a lot of team meetings, and we really use our veteran debaters to mediate, peer mediate with the novices of the group. So Cameron and Destiny step in and talk to them about, you know, staying focused on the goals and being successful and that really honing that team atmosphere and that team spirit. We don't necessarily kick kids off the team because we want to promote the activity and get everybody debating as much as possible to help reading and stuff. So I don't know. It's a little bit different than a sport in that way.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure it is. Missy, give us a little more detail in the format, how it works. How is it structured?
Sure. So what we focus on is policy debate. And I should preface this by saying I am not a former high school debater. Mm. I participated and still participate in performing arts. And so for me, that was the appeal of getting involved in this program. But we focus on policy debate. And the beauty of that is it's real world based. So these students are learning about how government works, how policies are formed at the state level and at the federal level. And that's something that's very exciting to me because it's applicable in their everyday lives. They're learning how to become active members of their community. And so what we do is we provide research materials for these students that are passed down based on what's called a resolution, or for a non-debater, I'll say a topic, that the National Forensics League identifies at the beginning of the year. So this year, all policy debaters across the country have been focusing on transportation infrastructure. And so there is a wealth of research that is involved in this program. And these students are researching topics that fall under that broader category or topic or resolution involving transportation infrastructure. So they're focusing on a high-speed rail, electric vehicle, airport improvement. And again, so this is real-world based. And so they have a lot of information to tackle, and they really have to become content experts. And so what they do with a partner, is our students, our debaters. They do a lot of research. They go into these tournaments with another competing team, and they have to argue for or against a specific case that falls underneath this resolution. And they do this in front of an adult, a volunteer judge, who then has to determine who they're going to vote for. And so that occurs within our six debate tournaments that we host throughout the course of the year.
Samantha, how do you determine who takes the positive and who takes the negative approach?
It's really been up to each team. The kids know their strength. The first speaker usually is a stronger just reader, I guess. You know, they have to get a lot of information out at once. The second debater often will be the analytical thinker who can think on the fly to address whatever the opposition has put in front of them. So, and that doesn't stay the same from tournament to tournament either. That can change.
Cameron, the subjects, as just described by Missy, just the one dealing with infrastructure and what have you, these are tough subjects. I mean, these are not things that kids, young people, if you don't mind my saying so, would likely be thinking much about. How difficult is it for you to approach these subjects?
Every year since my freshman year, the topics have not been very appealing. However, I have grown to love these topics. And the way I look at it is I know somewhere down the line I will be able to talk to some adult or somebody off the street about this type of thing. So I just embrace it as that, and I'll be able to open up more revenues as opposed to just being able to talk about one thing specifically.
Well, is Destiny Crockett your full-time partner?
Yes, she's been my partner since freshman year.
Give me some sense of how you two work things out.
Okay. Destiny and I actually, because of the speaker positions, we recently switched. However, Destiny and I, we sometimes view things differently. And the best way that we solve the problems are we look for the middle ground. And we see, like, what can be added, what can be subtracted, what is actually feasible for both me and her. And then we always, at the end of the day, come together, just not even as debate partners. We've gained, like, an excellent friendship as a result. So it's not just as debate partners that we have these solutions, but as friends. And that's what the end game is that she's one of my best friends that I have.
And Samantha, what is your role while this is going on?
Oh, goodness. Since I'm not one of their actual teachers, I am kind of their mentor and support. I have a variety of nicknames that have come over the last 4 years. My current one is Smeezy. So I have a really great relationship with these kids. I love them.
Well, do we want to define Smeezy, or should we let that one go?
Cam?
Smeezy, just her last name is Smith. And it's just the way that we thought about it. And every year she gets a crazy nickname.
Yeah, indeed.
Missy, how about determining what schools you're going to debate, what other teams you're going to debate? How is that worked out?
So at present, we're in 9 high schools within St. Yeah. Louis Public School District, although each year we strive to be in as many as possible. Because debate is a year-round activity, and it's quite rigorous both for the students and for the coach/teacher, you know, it's not always the very first thing that comes to mind. And so it's really a matter of availability and also demystifying what debate is for the student and for the teachers. I have to say that a number of our teachers, most of them are not former debaters. So in addition to the training and the resources that we're providing the students, it's important for us to provide opportunities for our teachers as well along the way, and resources. And that comes in a number of forms, not just materials. And my program director, Allison Levin, who's wonderful at working with our coaches throughout the year, but also relying heavily upon our partnering universities. So Webster and McKendree and Lindenwood, Washington University, they provide us with college-level debaters that are also going into the classrooms, working with our coaches, working with our students. And it's really building bridges for everybody that's involved. And so to recruit these schools, it certainly takes time. We go into faculty meetings at the beginning of the school year. We talk to the teachers about who we are, what we do, why we're of value to the students and to the overall school community.
This is a two-way street, your association with the colleges and universities, because as we've just heard from Cameron, they have accepted him quite generously to be a part of their debate program.
Absolutely. It is a win-win. Absolutely.
Yeah. How long do these debates last, Samantha?
Each round can be up to 90 minutes. There are four constructive speeches, so the kids have to prep 2 8-minute speeches each for the team. And they have 5 minutes of rebuttal time at the end with 3 minutes of cross-ex floated in the middle. I know that was a kind of an awkward way to describe it. But if a kid uses full time available, it will be about an hour and a half.
I want to just let our audience know that we're talking about the Urban Debate League, which is part of the St. Louis City Public School program. 130 kids are part of this thing. And the whole idea with this program is to put kids on a more attractive academic path, if you will. And Cameron, let me turn to you. I'd like to get a sense, if you could do that. I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you give me a sense of an argument? Take something that you've done recently, if you've taken the affirmative or the negative, give us some sense of how that dynamic works.
Okay. Well, last over the weekend when we were at Pattonville for the tournament, one team read an affirmative case affirming that the United States federal government should implement a high-speed rail system. And Destiny and I, as a part of our negative strategy, we argue that all 50 states should implement their own type of high-speed rail system. For several reasons, because we believe that they have more knowledge on the geographic of the city or the state, and they understand the finances and what the people can afford and what they can't afford, as opposed to a big government regulation.
Is it difficult to argue one side or the other if you don't really believe it yourself, or do you have to believe it yourself?
No, I think that's another misconception that debate is that you always have to debate something that you believe in, and that's the part of debate that is enjoyable, because you step outside of your comfort zone and even debate things that that you necessarily don't have to believe in.
Where do you want to take this personally?
Debate as a career, I will be extending my debate career in college. I don't know where yet, but I will extend my debate career in college. However, I do want to take up either business or political science to either become a lawyer, a history teacher, or something of the sort.
I was going to say, it sounds like everyone would be destined for law, I mean, given these kinds of skills. Samantha, what have you learned from the debaters? You've taught them. What have they taught you?
That expectations need to be high for our students. They amaze me time and time again. And sometimes they have to check me about, you know, can they grasp this material and analytically provide evidence and support for things that they have no background knowledge for. So that's the kind of thing that they are constantly surprising me about, really, you know, what they can bring to the table. And just to really show me to always keep high expectations for these kids, because they can do anything. You know, I love it.
Can any young person be taught to debate successfully?
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, it's a reading and analytically thinking skill. So
absolutely. You know, this really reaches the spectrum of students. So it's beneficial not only for students who are struggling academically, but it's also beneficial for what you would consider gifted or talented students as well. That's the beauty of this program and why I love it the way that I do, because we're seeing success across the board, regardless of where those students may fall in that spectrum.
How do you recruit
the students?
Yeah.
Well, there are a number of ways. As I say, my program director and I try to get into the schools at the beginning of the school year and promote the activity. We rely heavily upon the coaches that have been involved for a number of years, like Samantha, who really can speak to the teachers about what she's seeing in terms of academic achievement among the students as a result of their participation. And of course, the best way to recruit any student for anything is peer-to-peer. So providing students with resources so they can really lobby for this activity and get others on board. And I think it's important for them to not only identify what the opportunities are in the long term, this can take me to this university, or this is putting me on this career path, but this is what it's doing for me today academically and socially. So it really is concrete for these students who are new to debate and aren't sure, you know, what is in this for me?
Samantha, as a coach, do you do any recruiting?
Yes. At the beginning and at the end of each year, we have the kids go around and visit classrooms, primarily the 9th and 10th grade ones. So we can have students who will maybe continue to compete for multiple years, ideally. But I think Cameron and Destiny accompanied me in the past to pitch the benefits of debate. I try to publicize the program at Clyde Miller quite a bit with intercom announcements. I put up picture displays from the tournaments and just to get their information in our school newsletter, just so that kids know what's going on, because it's that non-traditional extracurricular that we kind of all year round we're constantly trying to recruit and get kids to come in.
You know, young people can be cruel sometimes, Cameron, and because football and basketball and baseball are the popular sports, if you will, do you find that you're looked upon any differently by those people?
Differently, yes, but differently in a good way. Though everybody wants me to be a football player because of my size, the people on the football team respect that I am a debater, and I do take it just as seriously as the next basketball player or the next baseball player and anything like that. And they understand that this is what my passion is, and I can be just as competitive as they can in their own sports.
How much time do you devote to it each week?
Number-wise, it's hard to give a number value to it, but every day, even if it means like watching the news and I'm like, oh, I have to get this article out from this, or just listening to my debate coaches, or just keeping up with the radio every day.
All right. In the time that we have left, I have to have some sense of what training is like. You're going to a national competition this summer. Is that correct?
Yes.
What sort of preparation must you undertake for that?
Well, since it's our first time, I'm not 100% certain. However, I have been told that there will be at least three practices after, you know, in the summertime, three times a week, doing research, doing practice debates with other schools, with the teams that we're going out with. Of course, more and more research, and also continuing what we have been doing, which is sticking true to ourselves and a true partner relationship and true critical thinking skills.
Yeah. So you don't have to run 6 miles a day or anything like that to get in shape for it.
No, but my brain does.
Yeah. How about your role in something like this? We only have a few seconds left, Samantha.
Destiny Cameron actually went to the UDL Nationals in Washington, D.C. last year. So in order to prep, we just increased the number of practices. I know he'll be prepped by our program director and some of the college kids that are working with us. So it's just providing as much support and research as I can for them.
And Missy, this is a big deal, isn't it?
It's a very big deal. It's something that I really think that the community can get behind and embrace. And we hope to engage the broader St. Louis community. And I encourage people to come out and see us in action. We'll be at Lindenwood University for our final city championship this weekend. It starts on Friday at 2 o'clock. And if you want to see the two final debaters in action on Saturday at 2 p.m., Harmon Hall, Elizabeth Dunseth Auditorium at Lindenwood University.
We want to thank you so much, all of you, for being with us and letting this community know more about what is obviously a very worthwhile venture, the Urban Debate League.
Thank you so much for having us.
Missy Heineman and Samantha Smith and Cameron Smith, thank you so much. And good luck to you and all of your future debates, Cameron.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about the Violence Against Women Act, which was recently reauthorized, and its effect on women in our region. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at sdlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.